The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Ed Bowes. In this episode, we're continuing our exploration of the highs and lows of Amitabh Bachchan's career with three films from the 1990s.
First up, Bachchan plays a man who ends up in prison for murdering the man that killed his beloved's father in Mukul Asanand's 1992 epic, Kodagawa.
Then Bachchan plays a major at a military academy who has to whip Ajay Devgan into shape in 1998's Major Saab from Tinu Anand.
Finally, Bachchan plays both son and father in EVB, Satyanarayana's 1999 drama Suryavansham.
Before we begin, we'd like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people.
Now you have two options. I don't know which one to use.
Just do your next part.
Matt! I have very exciting news.
We're alive.
Yes, we are alive. That always an exciting thing to wake up every day. It's best news of all. But no, we got a new review on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, we say at the end of every episode, you know, that we'd like reviews. And
someone,
finally,
someone listened.
That pleading.
It's
that
probably been a year.
Pleading has paid off. So as we traditionally do, I'm going to read the review out. So this comes from the U.S. store. From DT24X.
Sounds futuristic.
And DT24X says, very entertaining perspective on Indian movies. Found this podcast by accident and loving it. Hosts have great chemistry, which helps a lot.
No, that makes sense.
I would hope we would have good chemistry. Yeah. Because we are like a real couple. Anyways. Their takes on movies, which I have seen as an Indian, is refreshingly different and extremely entertaining. This will be one of my regular listenings going forward. Also great that I can dive into the 200 plus episode library, having come late to this party. Do we have over 200 episodes at this point?
It's about 205.
Wow.
Because all the Netflix and Dills, yeah, and all the supplementals, they add up.
Yeah. I also agree with the host that 60s and 70s were the most entertaining periods of Indian cinema. Yes, we got to do some more 60s and 70s stuff. Erin, Matt, sorry, but you got it wrong on motivations and resolutions in Tezab. It was not about money, but love.
This was how many years ago did we watch Tezab?
Yeah, I mean, I love Tezab, but
we should watch it again, is what I'm hearing.
Or just re-listen to the episode, because I don't remember.
I think it was basically like we thought that he kind of gets hired like Snake Plissken to go in and get her, but maybe he's still holding a torch for Madhuri, which it makes sense.
It was not about, so it was not about money, but love. Indian heroes and heroines too can never be crass enough to choose money or forsake love ever. I mean, I don't disagree with that.
For the most part.
Maybe we read the movie wrong. Clearly we need to rewatch Tezab. Yeah. Which, I mean, sounds like a lot of fun. So
yeah, it was a good movie.
Thank you so much to DT24X. As hopefully you've become aware, you deserve some Biffle points.
Yeah.
So please reach out to us via email, bollydisforlovers@gmail.com. You can also message us on Twitter, I guess that's now X, or on Facebook. Email seems like the easiest. Get in touch and we will arrange to send you your Biffle points.
Mm-hmm. This is the only way you can get them. Unless you see us in person somewhere. And we have them on us.
Yes. Yes. But yes, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate it. It has been a while since we've had a new review. And they really do, I mean, the good ones really do boost our spirits.
Yeah.
We do really appreciate it.
After watching these long-ass, fairly depressing movies this week, it's nice to get a little recognition.
Yeah. So, Matt, this is your favorite series. Do you want to talk a bit about kind of where we're at with this series?
Okay, so in our increasingly foolhardy attempts, I think we're kind of through the hardest part
right.
in acquiring films.
Right. There's some years that we haven't been able to do, but yeah.
Yeah, so
what's the
we
series?
Are trying to watch one film from each year of Amitabh Bachchan's career where he is a main character.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of movies where he did voiceover,
narrator.
A narrator. Yeah. He's got that voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've watched from, I believe, 1971. We couldn't get 1969. That's Sat Hindustani. Mm-hmm. Can't find that with subs, but someone may have a link to us for that. And I think it might actually be fun to kind of end the series on the first
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
But we've watched all the way from the 70s till what is now the mid to late 90s.
Mm-hmm. we haven't been able to get to every year. There have been some
challenging
years.
There's 2 years that we can't get. In addition to 1969, it's 1986, where his kind of main movie was Akari Rasta.
Which is frustrating, because that's also the year we were born.
Yeah. It is on Z5, but with no subs.
Yeah.
And I think it's 88, is Shah and Shah. Mm. Another one that is on Z5 with no subs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he doesn't have a movie every year. He took some time off during the 80s. And this 90s period is doing it again.
Yeah.
So we kind of like worked our way through some of his tougher times.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one more movie for the 90s, if we can get it, called Mrityudatta, which you'll talk about in a second here.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I think it'll be smoother sailing. 2000, his only film is Mohabbatein, which we have talked about. And I'll just put a link to that discussion on the playlist for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was in with Arakshan as like school movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mohabbatein kind of revitalized.
No, Mohabbatein, I believe, was our episode on Aditya Chopra.
Aditya Chopra, yeah, yeah. Okay. But once we get into the 2000s, I know a lot more of them are streaming. Because especially two of these three movies were pretty hard to track down.
Yeah.
And I have kind of like Google Alerts going, and I check all the movie sites, all the streaming services we have fairly regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Major Saab is very hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the version we watched had some edits done to it, but I believe that was, yeah, you'll see. So usually we try and watch everything legally, but this series, especially, and the noir series, has really tested us on that. So mm-hmm. Major Saab, we did end up having to watch on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We're always doing our best in that respects.
Yeah, and I feel like we are doing our due diligence
mm-hmm.
in trying to acquire things legally. And when we can't, like just for this series of just one per year, you know, I think he'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big B is going to be fine.
Well, and often the film that we end up choosing is kind of, it does come down to availability.
Yeah, so we might have made some weird choices in the past. Like,
yeah.
D'Var, for instance, we were unable to watch for many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But our last episode kind of in this series, which I don't know if it's the last one that we recorded, because we went in and we filled in some gaps.
Yeah.
But kind of The most recent films in this series that we have done have been Hum and Agony Paths.
So which were pretty well regarded.
Yeah, which came out in 90 and 1991. So we're going to finish off the 90s in this episode. And
until
finally,
we find 1997's Richard Dutta, in which case we'll make a triumphant return.
Yes, that would, I mean, that film would be interesting to see. So with the exception of Agni Path and Hum, the 90s was really full of flops for Amitabh Bachchan. This is not a high point for him. We talked a bit when we talked about his 80s films, about his failed political career.
And how he got hurt doing Coolie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The 90s kind of brings about more failures professionally and creatively for Bachchan, unfortunately. So after Kurosawa in 1992...
Which did well. We'll talk about that.
It did do well, yes. And Insaniat in 1994, though I have to stress this was a delayed release, so it's kind of also a 1992 picture. Like,
yeah, he stacked up a bunch of movies, and then, yeah, they got released later on.
Yeah.
Which we're not really getting into with, like, when did he make the movies versus when they were released?
No.
Because that way lies madness.
It is important to articulate that, because Bachchan went into retirement for 5 years.
Yeah.
So he's
in his mid-40s, pushing 50, right?
So he didn't make anything from 1992 until 1997.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that Insaniat came out in 1994.
Yeah.
In 1996, he set up Amitabh Bachchan Corporation's LTD and then returned to the screen in 1997's Richard Dutta, which was produced by ABCL. It was a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he...
I've heard nothing good about it.
Yeah, he sets up his own production company and, like, really, like, multi-entertainment company. They were involved in, like, beauty pageants. So ABCL collapsed in 1997.
So, upon the release of Ritu Data?
Yeah, well, not entirely. It collapsed amid legal battles and financial mismanagement.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that didn't last well.
And then we never heard about this guy ever again.
Bachchan put a lot of money into the company that ultimately ended up failing. I know there were some court cases to stop him from kind of selling off his bungalow in order to pay off debts.
It's a very famous one, right?
Yeah. It was not good. But he eventually revived his career with successes like Bade Mian Chote Mian,
which we watched about 5 minutes of, and it looked like horrible garbage.
It was very broad and comedic. And then you decided we should watch Major Saab instead. So
which both, I think was the right decision.
Yeah. So those both came out in 1998, and Suryavansham, which came out in 1999. So wasn't a lot for us to choose from in these years.
And then even then, is it available with subtitles? Because I found most of these movies on YouTube, for instance. But like getting reliable subtitles is very difficult. And yes, I know that the movies are not designed for me, so it's fine that they don't have subtitles. But then we can't talk about them.
Yes. I guess, like, what is your overall kind of having seen now this kind of this decade from 1992 to 1999? What's kind of your overall impression of Bachchan in the 90s?
I'm glad you asked. I would say that in Hum and Agni Path, he's definitely still trying to be angry young man, but also in reality, a angry older man.
He's angry middle-aged man.
Angry middle-aged man.
Yeah.
And over the course of these three movies, I think that he finds his place as the patriarch. He becomes like the dad. This is dad time. The dad ascension has begun.
Yeah, that's the thing I really... And it's kind of crazy that then 2000 will be Mahabatin.
Yeah.
Where he's like clearly established as kind of the old guard.
Yeah, and Kurosawa, especially the format of that story, even has him as like a young guy. Then he's in jail for like 20 years and comes out as an old guy. And his kids and their romantic partners are basically having the adventures now.
Yeah.
So that movie, which I really liked, is a very good stepping stone. Like it basically presages the whole thing.
Yeah, I think all three of these films that we're going to discuss, you can kind of see this transition from kind of the central hero to Yeah, that old guard, the older figure who can still be like the protagonist and central to the story.
Yeah.
But like you see the new generation coming in. You see him kind of making,
stepping back.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of and making that transition.
It is also very funny to me. Someone could make a TikTok of this, but just measuring over his career, because one of the things about Bachchan is even in his early movies, he would often be made up to be much older.
Mm-hmm.
He had the gravitas to portray someone in their 40s, 50s, 60s, even when he's 30, because
mm-hmm.
he's got the voice and he's just like a very serious guy.
He's
and
he so could tall.
Pull it off. He's cool. But like just the way that they styled him to look old. And as he approached that reality and what he actually does look like at his current age, just kind of fascinating. Major Saab especially, it's like, what are we doing here? Like, this dye job is not it. This no. is not what he ended up looking like. And even compared to prior scenes, prior movies in which he had to play older, that was just a weird outlier.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we can get into Kurokawa.
Sure.
It means God is my witness.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Mukul S. Anand. It stars Amitabh Bachchan, of course, Sri Devi, Danny Dangzampa, Nagarjuna, Shilpa Shirokar, and Kiran Kumar. It was critically acclaimed and the third highest grossing film of 1982, and is one of the most watched Indian films in Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, that's where it takes place.
Yes, it initially takes place in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And they're playing, oh, what's the name of that sport again?
Buzkashi.
And you see scenes, like it opens with scenes of them playing Buzkashi, which is a sport that I was aware of before for the film, and I've seen a documentary on it before. It's quite brutal.
Yeah, and what? They were talking about it in Blank Check not too long ago. Because it was when they did the episode on rollerball, and they were talking about sports that what you would play in Kazakhstan, which is where the new version of rollerball took place, the John McTiernan one.
Yeah.
And apparently there is a sort of world nomadic games that has like a Buzkashi competition and stuff. But it's kind of like a mix of, well, it's kind of like rugby, but you're on a horse.
It's like rugby meets polo.
Polo, yeah. And the ball is like a inflated goat carcass.
Yeah. Again, like there's really like, I don't know, brutal is probably the wrong word. There's like an intensity to it. It's like,
yeah.
it's
like
the desert.
It's kind of a bit like rollerball.
sure.
Everyone knows rollerball.
Sure. The film was nominated for 9 Filmfare Awards, including Best Film, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, and Best Villain. And it won Best Director and Best Supporting Actor for Danny Dangzampa. The plot.
I can do the plot.
You're going to do the plot? Okay.
The movie starts with that Buzkashi sequence where we find...
Which is like quite impressive. Like this is... At the time that this film was made, like it was one of the most expensive Indian films ever made. Like,
yeah.
And you see the money on the screen.
And I believe it's in scope too.
Yeah.
So it has that sort of lengthening and sort of flattening at the edges that you get with shooting on scope.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts off with that sequence in probably like 10, 15 minutes of this exciting sport. And young Amitabh Bachchan is playing a guy named Bachchan Khan, who is like a tribal badass leader.
Yeah.
And Danny Dangzampa is his buddy. And he's playing Buzkashi. He's about to win when this secret hidden person comes in, basically just scoops the ball. I guess we could say the ball.
Isn't it like a goat?
The goat. We could call it the goat.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she sneaks in and scoops it away. And we find out this is Sri Devi, who her mask kind of falls off. And Amitabh's like, whoa, check this chick out.
Yeah. She's incredibly gorgeous.
Yeah. So they kind of end up, if I remember right, they're both kind of holding it as they cross the finish line, right? So, and he's like, wow, finally a woman who has matched me in my skills of the game. I must have her.
Yeah.
And
then he sees her perform a really sexy dance.
There's
a
sexy dance.
Very convinced he should, you know, they're meant to be.
Yeah. But many swords are whipped out and oaths taken. And she doesn't seem that into it. So she kind of gives him an impossible task. You need to go. And now I'm trying to remember. Was it Kabul? that he had to go to, or he has to go to sort of the border area of India and Afghanistan.
Yeah, he has to go to India.
Because he has to go find the man who murdered her father and cut his head off and bring it back.
Yeah.
So he goes off on like a 2 years trying to figure this out. And meanwhile, Sri Devi, her character's name is Benazir, has fallen in love with him.
Yeah.
He
and she's just hanging out with Danny Gumdengzampa.
Yeah, there's some other guy who's kind of sniffing around, but then he gets kicked off a cliff. do not screw around with Sri Devi. Bachchan also hucks a flag into a rock, and this becomes kind of the symbol of his love for Benazir, because the flag gets eaten up by the elements. So he spends about 2 years looking around India. He finds the guy, and in a sort of Sholay-esque battle, he has to team up with this local cop to take him down. But the cop is given an ultimatum like, hey, you know, we're going to execute this guy. You can't do it. And Bhajai Khan's like, no, I obviously have to do it. I have to cut his head off. This is happening.
Yeah.
So the cop says, okay, I'll let you take him after this long gunfight with all these Dakowitz. I'll let you take him, but you are now honor bound to return in 30 days to serve your jail time for, I guess, murder?
Yeah.
It's definitely premeditated, and everyone knows it's happening. And also the stealing someone from the cops. He's done multiple crimes, but basically, the cop is also like, yeah, this guy sucks. It's fine that you want to do this, but you need to come back and serve your time. So Amitabh takes the head back, gets married to Sri Devi, and then goes back and does his time. She has a kid in the meantime, also played by Sri Devi.
Well, eventually, you saw that coming from a mile away.
Yeah. So it's sort of like Lamhe, right? Yeah. Or a similar sort of setup. But through a series of sort of complicated events, Bhajshah Khan gets stuck in jail longer than we were assuming.
Yeah.
He becomes very good friends with the cop, and then he has to save the cop's daughter who's been kidnapped. And this necessitates breaking out of prison the day before he would have gotten out. But there's a little girl's life on the line.
And then he gets falsely accused of murder and kind of has to take the rap for
it. There's another cop who's dirty, and that cop's wife kills that cop. But Amitabh's like, I'll take the rap for you. I'm already in jail anyway, and you need to live your life, and that daughter needs a home.
Yeah.
So when we get to the time skip, there is...
Yeah, so that's the first half of the film. And I have to say, the first half of the film...
Awesome.
It was totally awesome. I was on the edge of my seat. I loved this big, epic kind of romance between...
Lawrence of Arabia, almost?
Yeah, Bachchan and Sri Devi. I think, it's clearly shot on location, and you can just kind of feel the heat.
It looks
and the
rugged.
Sand. Yeah, I was, fully on board for this film. But then... And it's, a full 3 hours. But then the second
this
half...
This is the full meal deal.
Yeah. The second half, we jump forward to Amitabh.
Well, I would say.
Yeah. Okay.
So Amitabh is old now, and he's still in jail. But he has a really good relationship with the bad cop's daughter. And also... No, it's the good cop's daughter.
Yeah.
And the bad cop, his son, is also a cop.
Yeah.
And the son... the son has grown up thinking that his bad cop father was actually a good guy.
Yeah.
So he's not interested in being disabused of that notion. And the Benazir, the older Sri Devi, has basically gone crazy.
Yeah.
She's been waiting around for 30 years or so for her husband to come back.
Yeah.
So.
And Bachchan's daughter, now also played by Sri Devi, now 18 or so, has grown up believing that Danny Gyanzampa is her father.
And has grown up in luxury. It's not really explained, but they live in a mansion, and Dang Dang Zongpa takes care of both Sri Devis, I guess. But she's grown up in wealth and luxury, nothing like what her parents grew up as hardscrabble tribal people. I guess in the 60s is when that would have been?
Yeah.
Maybe?
And Danny Gyanzampa seems like a great dad.
He's obviously good with money.
Yeah. But he's not actually her dad. So.
But there's all these sort of hidden lies, essentially, that... it's the sort of story where if you sat someone down and said, like, look, you know, yes, this happened, but there was a very good reason why, yeah. and you can't be mad about it. Essentially, young Sri Devi goes to India to be in a, like, rally car competition, but also her car is being used to smuggle drugs.
But also gets she the other goes cop to in. Find her father.
That too. Yeah. And much drama ensues.
Yes, yeah.
But it turns into a cop movie, basically.
Yeah, because she goes to find her father and then crosses paths with the kids of the two cops who are now also her cops. Age. And so, like, you see this baton passing of kind of this epic romance about Sri Devi and Bachchan to then this kind of love triangle, yeah. this more modern love triangle between these three kind of young kids. And that's where, and eventually it all culminates.
Yeah, there's a Dacoit who survived the initial. His brother's the guy that killed Sri Devi's father. Mm-hmm. And he's been kind of operating out in the woods ever since then and growing his army of Dacoits. Yeah. And he's kind of behind all the trickery.
Yeah.
And everyone's got to work together to take him down.
Yeah. And I think, like, the second half just, it really drags. And
I didn't mind it.
Like, I mean, I still like the film overall. I think it comes around. You do eventually get, like, you know, this reunion between Bachchan and Sri Devi Sr. that I think is quite earned and quite emotional.
Quite explosions happening.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the action throughout this film, you know, like, this is really the full meal deal in the sense that, like, you know, you have romance, you have action, you have comedy, you have some fantastic musical sequences.
Nagarjuna.
Mostly centered around Sri Devi, yeah. looking amazing.
Nagarjuna plays the young cop guy.
Yeah.
He was apparently a big Telugu Tamil guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is a few of his Hindi films. But he beats some people with a bicycle chain.
Yeah.
Like, he's a classic 80s cop.
Yeah. I think the kind of the love triangle aspect within the second half of the film, that didn't entirely work for me. I think it kind of pulled me out of the kind of more epic and kind of grand narrative and visuals of the first half of the film. But overall, I do really like this movie. I believe it was like cut into like a miniseries, like a TV miniseries.
Like Gangs of Wasseypur style?
Potentially.
Because that's kind of what I was reminded of.
Yeah.
For this film. There's that epic scope.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that, like, so it was on TV in Pakistan, from what I understand.
Hmm. That kind of makes sense, yeah. Most of the characters are Muslims, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just, like, yeah, this is, I mean, cards on the table, this is, I think, both the best film of the three that we're going to discuss today.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I think this is, like, my favorite of all the 1990s Amitabh Bachchan films we've seen, so, including also Hum and Agnipath. This is easily my favorite, and I think this is his best performance.
I mean, Hum and Agnipath are also pretty good. Like,
I just,
that run of 1990, 1991, 1992, like, he's still trying to do Younger yeah. Young Man, but he himself is middle-aged. But, like, compared to a lot of other movies that we've seen from this time, it's yeah. pretty solid.
Agnipath's just, like, it's too much trying to be...
Scarface.
Like, yeah, like, De Palma's Scarface. I don't know. Those films are just really... I remember them being really angry.
Yeah. Well, he's an angry old man.
But not angry in, like, the way that, like, Divar and Sholay, mm-hmm. where he's an angry old man. There's a nastiness to them.
Yeah.
That I find a little unpleasant. Whereas I think the romanticism that you have in this film and just kind of the ethics that Bachchan is kind of navigating... combined, you know, with, like...
It's a return to 70s form.
In many ways. I really like this movie. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
It's a little long, but...
It is a little long. Nowadays, it would be two movies, probably.
Yeah, and I think because of the length, kind of the more goofier, kind of contemporary for its time stuff with the next generation... It didn't feel suited for the scope.
There was a gangster named Kalia Dangerous, I think it was.
Something like that.
It's just like kind of funny names for these gangsters, and you're just like, these were tribal warlords, and now we're just dealing with drug dealers.
I think this movie would be amazing to see in theaters.
Yes.
Because it's shot for the big screen. It just, like you said, like the scope, it was shot in scope. Like, yeah. And the way that it kind of captures the Afghani landscape is just like, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and I read about how its reception in Afghanistan was kind of interesting. Like, it didn't seem like people thought, oh, they're just using us as a background, like Phantom, for instance, right. Which I think was mostly in Afghanistan. Like, a lot of Indian movies nowadays, when they have to go to the terrorist lair and beat them all up, it could be in Afghanistan, could be in Pakistan. Like, it kind of seems perfunctory, but if apparently the people of Afghanistan think of this as just like a classic national movie that they all like, because it's the good parts, or at least, are all the giant romance in Afghanistan, and everyone looks like a cool, like, badass who rides horses and shoots guns. Like, it's
yeah, the villains in the film are Indian.
Yeah,
our heroes are all Afghani.
It's essentially a Western.
Yeah,
even though it's about as Eastern as it gets, but it's, you know, riding around on the range and getting into gunfights and living off the land. Like, it seems like people in Afghanistan, this seems like one that would have been on TV a lot.
Yeah.
And people would have enjoyed that. So, well, it's just nice that it's like, people like it.
Yeah, and Bakchan also, you know, his character is Afghani. He is presented as the most heroic,
the most honorable guy.
And just
yeah.
person, you know?
Yeah.
So,
to a fault. So much so that if he was slightly less honorable at, like, two pretty key moments, none of this would have happened.
Like, couldn't he just have, like, said to the cop, okay, you guys kill him, but I'm going to take the head.
Yeah, like,
and then he could have lied. Or he didn't have to take the fall for the murder when he was in prison.
Of the, like, bad cop, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, I don't know. They could have applied to get him out of jail a day early. He served his time perfectly fine. He painted a nice picture of 3Debbie on his wall. Like, he's apparently a model prisoner. Everyone likes him.
He does also kind of
like, let's give the guy a break.
I mean, his one big fault is that I do think he kind of,
he's rigid.
Yeah, and he lets his code get in the way of his commitment to 3Debbie.
Yes.
And I think
I don't even think he told her that
he
had to leave a month after they got married.
He said he'd be right back. And I mean, you have a great kind of ballad with her kind of mourning and missing him. It's just,
But that's romance. That's what people like.
It is, yeah.
If people acted like rationally in these sort of movies, then they wouldn't have.
But then you have to spend like an hour with these, like, this love triangle of these.
I didn't mind them. Like, definitely the girl playing the cop's daughter was okay.
Shilpa
Shirkar.
Mm-hmm.
She's okay. She's no Sridevi, unfortunately. So every time that they're kind of having a romantic battle, it's just like, well, come on. Yeah. But also, Nagarjuna is also only okay. Like,
he was
when you have to be on the level of Amitabh Bachchan as the other main romantic hero in the movie, you're kind of going to be an afterthought.
Yeah. Was he in Brahmastra? Yes, he is in Brahmastra. He's the Nandi Astra. He's the one that's in the fight on, like, on the road with the cars.
Mm. Does he have the bull one?
I don't remember.
He'll end up at Amitabh Bachchan's School for Gifted Youngsters. That's fun.
Yeah, but he's, like, on the same level as, like, Shah Rukh Khan, you know, and he's helping.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yes, I knew we had seen him before. Apologies for our ignorance of South Indian stars. That's going to come up again when we talk about Suryavansham.
Yeah. It seems like many times where the producers have teamed Amitabh up with definitely South Indian actresses, but also South Indian leads like Rajnikanth and other ones. It's just sort of like, okay, he's sort of the old master. Let's get one of our new guys in there to try and get a more of a pan Indian audience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. It feels like a stepping stone almost. Like, if you're if you want to try and break into Hindi, you should probably be in an Amitabh Bachchan picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It feels like this is really like the last time that we get this kind of performance from Bachchan.
I would have to think about movies I've seen since, because...
Like, what was the last action movie you've seen with him?
Kalki.
Okay.
I mean, he's like a 12-foot-tall, basically, Warhammer Space Marine, but he is getting in fights with Prabhas. Like, granted that this is 35 years later that comes out, and it's mm-hmm. all CGI, but, like, he occasionally gets to be kind of a... badass, but it's usually more of the older training badass guy. Mm-hmm. But in Kalki, he is
Brahmastra as well.
Yes,
I just talked about Brahmastra.
Yeah, but in Kalki, he is sort of the guy who's going to promote our young hero and teach him. But he also kicks his ass quite a bit. Like, the main fights of that whole movie are those two going at it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. This is such a good place for his career, because it's, you know. Mm-hmm. Him realizing that maybe I am too old for this shit. Then he tries it a few more times and has his company go out of business. And then he's like, yep, maybe definitely too old for this shit. And then we'll have hundreds of narration roles, and then, you know, mentor roles, and then lots of comedic roles.
Like, I wonder, is this our last angry young man performance in some respects?
I would have to look at the ones we've seen since, because once we get into the 2000s, we're going to be a lot more familiar with the movies he's in, especially once we get into the 2010s and we were just watching them live, basically. Yeah. But he has been more of the...
And he becomes more of like a wise figure.
Yeah. Or the stern patriarch who won't let the kids go do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good at that. Obviously.
Or...
He's great at everything.
Or he's a ghost who teams up with a child to convince people to vote.
Or he's a weird landlord who just messes with his tenants. Yeah. Or he's a Bengali grandpa who can't poop.
Yeah. But yeah, this kind of feels like... Yeah. I mean, we're saying this without, like, he's made a lot of movies, and so there could be things that we haven't seen or that we're not thinking of, but this certainly feels like a certain kind of...
Passing of the torch?
Yeah, at a certain kind of moment in his career where, like, this is kind of, like, the last, because I know he also made...
like, he's pushing 50 in this movie, right? So
I know he made Insaniyat this same year. I don't really know much about that film, but I know that it wasn't received well when it came out in 1994, so...
Yeah, and Richie Dutta, as we said, is a flop as well. So maybe that the last sort of him being the main hero fighting against the system... There's only so long you can fight against the system until the system starts to look like you. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're the most famous and best actor in the mm-hmm. world, right?
I mean, I will say the poster for Insaniyat does excite me.
Got some explosions, guns, yeah.
Yeah. But again,
it's... That was another one I couldn't find.
Yeah. But again, it's him and Sunny Dale. So, you know, it's more of this kind of passing of the torch.
He's not Luke Skywalker anymore. Now he's Yoda. And then sometimes Darth Vader. In a romantic sense.
Okay. So I think we're gonna leave it there for now. We're gonna take our break and come back and talk about Major Saab and Suryavansham, which I think we have a lot less to say about.
But the song right now is Sona Sona.
Yes.
From Major Saab.
Yes.
Which was apparently a big hit.
Yeah.
That song, not the movie.
And the movie did fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was Sona Sona from Major Saab. Prequel to Shabba Shabba, possibly, in a song?
Okay.
I don't know. Just S-word, S-word?
Yeah. So, I think as Matt alluded to, we had to watch Major Saab on YouTube.
Yeah.
And the version we watched actually cut out this song.
Yeah, I think that all of the songs were cut just so that the algorithm wouldn't notice the song.
Yeah, so we did not watch this kind of, like, we couldn't access the best version of this. We did, however, watch the song separately.
Yeah.
And it was very clear where it actually was in the film.
It's right before the wedding.
Yeah, but I had kind of said, like, oh, there's a really famous song from this film, and we've seen it before. And then we're watching the movie, and I was like, oh, I think this is probably where the song is. And then the song doesn't happen, and I was like, oh, well, where's that famous song? So then we watched the song, and we were, like, totally right about where it is.
Yeah.
But it was...
It's a really awkward edit otherwise.
Yeah, it was taken out of the version that we watched.
But yeah, like, this movie was quite hard to find.
Yeah.
Again, with the additional caveat of needing subs. But, like, even then, I think there's maybe, like, one or two rips of this on YouTube. Which is kind of crazy, considering who's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it came out in 1998. It's directed by Tinu Anand, who is the cousin of Mukul Essanan. So, we're keeping it in the family. It stars Amitabh Bachchan, obviously, Ajay Devgan, Sonali Bendre, and Nafisa Ali. It was the 9th highest grossing film of 1998.
Getting back up there. Getting those numbers back up.
Well, I mean, this is a drop from Kurosawa, which was the 3rd highest grossing film. So
also like 8 years later, 7 years later.
Yeah, so it fell a bit. But I'm sure did a lot better at the box office than Richard Datta, which was a notable fiasco. So.
Yeah, this is... Good news for the Amitabh Bachchan Corporation.
Yeah. The soundtrack has been quite popular, especially Sona Sona, which I know has featured in many other things.
Like every Indian wedding.
Yes. Yeah. There was something like... Here, I'm going to look it up now. There was something like very American that it was in. It was in Ella Enchanted.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, the Anne Hathaway film adaptation of the book that I quite loved. And then...
The book and movie?
No, I quite loved the book. Yeah. Because I was like 11 or 12 when that book came out. Maybe even 10. And I read it over and over again. And then a movie was made when I was like 16. Not as good.
And there's not a part, as good. There's a part where they go to military school in India?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but yes, they do. There is a dance number to Sona Sona. It's a popular song, but I knew there was something like very surprising that it showed up in.
That is surprising.
Yeah. Okay, so the plot, it's very straightforward. And here we actually see, even though he is the titular major in Major Saab, Bachchan is actually kind of playing more of a supporting performance here opposite Ajay Devgan.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you put him in supporting or lead if you were doing the Filmfare Awards?
I mean, you would put him in support. Yeah. Sorry, you would put him in lead.
Yeah.
Because he is
Amitabh Bachchan.
The title character. He is Amitabh Bachchan. But I suspect Ajay Devgan has more screen time. It's a bit of like a Viola Davis, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom situation.
Oh, of course. That classic thing. Is she Ma Rainey or is she the Black Bottom?
It's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Oh, is it? Oh. Like, is that her butt? What's that movie about?
She plays a singer
named
Ma Rainey.
Yeah.
But she's only on screen for like 30% of the time.
Okay.
It's 100% a supporting performance.
But category fraud?
Totally is. But because it's Viola Davis.
Yeah.
And
she's the main character.
And the film is called Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and she's playing Ma Rainey. She ran in lead.
And what's the Black Bottom?
I don't remember. Like, I think it might be a song she sings.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense, because otherwise, seems like kind of risque subject matter.
Yeah, anyway, so I do think the play here is like, if you were looking at... I mean, this wasn't nominated for anything. But if you were, like, running a campaign, I think Bachchan is the lead again, even though he may be more supporting role.
I mean, he's kind of the only one that has any sort of emotional change over the course of the film.
I think Ajay Devgan does as well.
You could say the plot, but within about 6 minutes, he's just like, yeah, this is great. I love this.
Yeah, yeah. So Ajay Devgan is a bit of like a spoiled dilettante.
Yeah.
But in order to kind of access his inheritance. There's a clause in his father's will that he has to attend a military academy.
He has to go to any school. And he's been kicked out of every school in town, right. Says.
Yeah.
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 So military academy is like the last possible one he could go to.
Exactly. So he ends up at this military academy where he initially butts heads with Amitabh Bachchan, the titular Major Sob. He also falls in love with Nisha, played by Sonali Bendra, who is the sister of a gangster. And over the course of the film, Amitabh Bachchan, and especially because of his wife, he lost a son in the past, and him and his wife are still kind of grieving that.
Like in childbirth.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where we get the hilarious hair coloring.
Yes. Anyways, but I think largely kind of urged on by his wife, he starts to see Ajay Devgan as like a son figure to him and mm-hmm. decides to kind of help him out, especially in his pursuit of Nisha's heart.
By doing many war crimes.
Yeah. This is like, you know, I think we've seen, that's the story. Like, there's not much to the plot here.
And even that part you said, like, he has to go into military school. Like I said, there's like 6 minutes of Ajay Devgan being like, you know, I don't know if I like military school. He escapes from military school a couple times. But then he meets Nisha and he's like, you know what? Maybe I like the military. And for the rest of the movie, he is just like the perfect soldier.
Yeah.
Does every order, gets his ass kicked a bunch of times, but he still like gets up and salutes.
Yeah.
Like it's the most patriotic thing ever.
Yeah.
But I thought the movie was going to be them fighting
over
like... Who's in charge? The Major Saab or Ajay Devgan? No. Not at all. It's more about doing military operations against civilians.
Yeah, it has like a bit of like a Top Gun vibe because like it's set at an academy. But really like a lot of the kind of central conflict is between them at the military academy and like the local gang.
Yeah. It is a weird setup.
It's very strange. And a lot of it is focused on kind of the romance between Ajay Devgan and Sonali Bendra.
Which,
and then,
get this, she's not into him at first, but then he follows her around and does a bunch of creepy shit, and then she likes it.
Yes. Yeah. And then I think also, like, you have, like, kind of the two relationships playing off of one another. Like, the two romantic relationships. So, Amitabh Bachchan and his wife, and Ajay Devgan and Sonali Bendra. And then in the center, you have the, like, again, this very passing of the torch kind of situation.
Yeah.
Of Amitabh Bachchan essentially saying, like, ah, yes, Ajay Devgan, I will now train you to be the next star of Bollywood.
It's sort of like Rushmore meets Major Payne.
Sure. But you thought this was going to be something completely different.
I totally thought it was going to be like An Officer and Gentleman or many other war movies where some, you know, dildo joins the army because he has to get out of something. And then he has to get broken down by the training and eventually morph into the perfect soldier, like Full Metal Jacket for one, that first like hour or so.
I feel like Full Metal Jacket and An Officer and a Gentleman are like two wildly different movies.
I know, cool. But like it's about the training and the molding of a soldier.
Yeah. But Officer and a Gentleman is a very romantic movie though.
That is this too. But like it's like it completely sidesteps that entirely. And it's more like
Can
Ajay Devgan use his powers of sneaking out of military school in order to lead a military op on the gangster's house?
Yeah.
They bring like civilian, like they bring like rocket launchers and blow up civilian cars, and the gangsters have a helicopter with missile launchers?
And you say that, like, yes, it's very patriotic, but also at the end, our heroes get court-martialed. Like, it
ends so abruptly. It's like, Major Saab, you have basically declared war without asking anybody against the civilian populace of this town. And then there's, like, a text crawl saying, like, Major Saab was summarily dismissed from the army.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they immediately ran out of money that day, and they're like, I guess that's the end of the movie.
There was also a disclaimer about his haircut, right?
Yes. So the character is sick, but they said that he had a medical dispensation, which meant that he didn't need to wear a turban.
And this is just like, it just comes up.
It's the first thing that comes up in the movie. Like
a disclaimer.
No, it's a mustache.
Oh,
he could, and I I guess I don't understand that well enough, but it said he had a medical condition, which means he couldn't shave.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it came up as a disclaimer, and I think from what I understand that, like, the Indian military was, like, trying to stop the release of this movie because of that, so they had to, like, come up with this workaround where they'll just put on a disclaimer that he has a medical condition. That he has to have a mustache.
Like, he has a military-issued medical mustache that he has to wear, otherwise he dies. It was one of the...
And we were like, oh, they're really going to be explaining some interesting stuff here about the medical need for mustaches. And it never comes up with the actual movie.
No. One of the weirdest... in it, that and, like, thanks to the devil, is some of the weirdest, like, disclaimers I've seen before a film.
Thanks to the devil made sense, though. Because, you know, the filmmakers are trying to be like, ooh, this is going to be... This is going to be... This is just... we've been forced to slap on this very strange disclaimer.
We figured out a very stupid way to get around this weird complaint by the army. So, enjoy. Medical mustache.
Yeah. I have nothing else to say about this. This was...
We watched this on YouTube. It kind of looked like a potato. But...
We've bred up that expression before. We say that a lot at home when like the image quality is really bad or the transfer is really bad, that something looks like a potato.
But like, I was impressed.
Which means it looks delicious.
I was impressed by like what Lex G would call the sheen. And like, it very much does look like a 90s military thriller from the States. Like, it could be Hunt for Red October. It could be like...
Because our next film sure doesn't look like it was made in 1999.
Yeah, so like, it's got that sort of like, ooh, there's spotlights and people are sneaking around doing missions and stuff.
It's very like cold cinematography.
Yeah, yeah. But like it actually does do a very good job of emulating that sort of look.
Yeah.
That you would see in Hollywood at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like cautiously impressed by that. I mean, this movie is fine.
Yeah.
It's... the version we watched was definitely not 165 minutes long.
No.
I think it was trimmed significantly in addition to the songs.
I think it was just about 2 hours.
Yeah, and I mean, there's only so many movies we can watch about how cool it is to join the Indian Army without me actually going and joining the Indian Army. Also can't shave because of a medical condition.
Why don't you join the Indian Army, Matt?
I also can't shave because of a medical condition, so hopefully that...
When you join the Indian Army, are you going to be zooming in for us to do this podcast? Are we going to put it on hold, or do I have to find a new co-host / boyfriend?
I don't know. Yeah. Seems like a lot of work being in the Indian Army. And I have no qualifications. I'm old. And
you have terrible eyesight.
I have terrible eyesight. Not in shape. So it's going to be, hopefully they have need for someone to write like the military newspaper. That's something I could do. I have a university degree, so I probably should be a commissioned officer. Mm. But yeah, if they need someone in public relations or something, I could do that. And also if needing to be an Indian citizen might be an issue. So
I just
I'd have
really
to rescind my Canadian citizenship.
I really like how far you're going to go to research, these movies. Just,
yeah. Well, the propaganda works. I've seen so many movies. Like, the Indian Army's the best. Like, maybe I should join the Indian Army.
I'm going to sign up to fly a helicopter.
Yeah, helicopters are for girls, and fighter planes are for boys.
Yeah. Okay, are we ready to move on to Sue Revenge?
I mean, this... this is better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was fine.
Like, it's perfectly adequate. The hairstyling and mustache... stuff is funny.
The songs were good.
Yeah, the songs are
fun.
That
we did listen to.
I feel
the
like...
The songs we were able to listen to were good.
I feel like there's some of the stuff missing is like the camaraderie between Ajay Devgan and the fellas. Because like we're supposed to care about some of them getting killed in this military operation to stop a wedding.
Yeah.
What? No, I don't care.
Yeah. There's been some good hijinks going on with that wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. They brought a rocket launcher.
And it really does combine kind of some of the, like, 90s and 2000s kind of rom-com stuff with, like, you know, yeah, like, this kind of more, seemingly for us, kind of more American kind of macho military kind of backdrop. Again, like, they must have been thinking about Top Gun a little bit when they made this.
Top Gun, like, any American recruitment ad / movie. It has that sheen.
I doubt they were thinking about Full Metal Jacket. But.
No, Full Metal Jacket is way too depressing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Full Metal Jacket, but, like, everything goes great.
But, yeah, like, a little bit of, like, Ajay Devgan could be the Indian Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Oh, he certainly would hope so.
And he kind of is the Indian Tom Cruise. Like, yeah. He does a lot of stunt work.
He's pretty good at running.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely one where it's just sort of like, okay, Amitabh, you got to set it up for... Oh, wait. Oh, no, you're the most important guy in the movie and kind of the emotional core of it. But, okay, you kind of gave Ajay a shot here, but whatever.
Okay, so you're Van Trump. 1999, which was a banner year for movies. An incredibly important year. It's when The Matrix came out, Virgin Suicides, many films, Magnolia, and also Suryavansha. It was a very bad year for Amitabh Bachchan.
Yeah, so this one, let me pull up his acting career filmography. So again, we're sort of stuck with what we can get, right?
Yeah.
So in 1999, he had Lal Bachchan, which I kind of wanted to watch, couldn't find. Suryavansha, which we're going to talk about in a second. Biwi number one is a special appearance. Hindustan Ki Kasam is another, I believe it's another military one where Amitabh Bachchan is Ajay Devgan's commanding officer, so I didn't want to watch another one of those. Mm-hmm. Hello Brother, he plays God. Like, there's a lot of not mains.
Yeah.
But Suryavansham has two Amitabh Bachchans for the price of one.
This is definitely the most notable film when I was kind of looking over this period.
It also has a very sort of cyberpunk / like Angel Fire fonts sort of treatment on the title page.
On the poster?
Like, I'm pretty sure my blog back in 2000 had that font going.
You had a blog?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. But like this... If we're talking about generational stuff and the way that Amitabh Bachchan sees himself, in this it is no longer a passing of the torch to the next generation. It is a passing of the torch to himself.
Yeah, so he, yes, this is a double role. He plays both the father and the son, and it almost seems like it's a way for him to like let go of the younger role and move into the senior role.
Yeah. I don't think that this worked very well for him, even though this movie was popular. And then Mohabbatein kind of revitalizes him, and he's into that mentor role from the 2000s.
Well, and puts him on screen with Shah Rukh Khan, so...
Yeah. A bit of a bigger get than Ajay Devgan, I would say.
We just established Ajay Devgan is the Tom Cruise of Bollywood.
Yeah, so Suryavansham, which means, like, Solar Dynasty. Mm-hmm. It's a remake of a... Tamil film.
Yeah.
And it's about a guy. Yeah, I know. It's a very important family.
Who directed it?
Directed by E.V.V. Satyanarayana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I've heard it described as like the good version of Animal.
Yeah,
someone
we
who's
saw
very
that.
Very obsessed with their own father.
We saw that on Letterboxd that this was like a good version of Animal. And that did really make us laugh. And you know what? I don't disagree.
No.
Like, good doesn't mean I thought it was a good movie, but, like, it wasn't as toxic as Animal.
Yeah. So, Amitabh plays Dr. Bhanu Pratap Singh, who is a sarpanch of a village. I don't know if this is the same equivalency as, like, a zamindar, but he's, like, the village headman. And, mm-hmm. like, he's very rich. He's got a really nice house. He's always giving away gifts at speeches and all kinds of stuff to the people in the village. They all really respect him. He's a very learned man. He can go in and sort of quote laws to cops who are breaking them. But he has a secret. His son is illiterate.
Yeah.
And this is a... this is stemming back to the son, also played by Amitabh Bachchan, but also by a little kid during the little kid scenes, who was so into a girl that when she was like... He fell in love with her, and he basically neglected all of his studies, and then they had this sort of tragic pulling apart, and she had to go to another village, which she'd come back every year, and he just neglected his studies, never learned how to read, and is essentially treated as a servant in his own house, and we don't find that out right away, which I think is interesting. Like, it was a better way of showing it than, like, just starting at him being a kid and working his way up, like, having there be a bit of a mystery. And we have Hira Thakur. So Hira is the younger version of Amitabh. Anupam Kher is his buddy. Anupam Kher is a servant, but he hangs out with Hira as they just kind of do stuff around the house and take care of foreign guests and stuff. Anupam Kher tells the tragic backstory to why Amitabh can't read and is treated like a servant in his own house to a woman called Radha Thakur, played by Sundaria. And she is so struck by how good of a guy this is that she just falls in love with him and mm-hmm. says, like, yeah, I'm going to marry him. And the elder Amitabh Bachchan cannot deal with this. It's like, this is an outrage. You can't marry my son. I was going to marry him, off to someone else. This isn't going to work. So young Bachchan attacks her wedding in a motorcycle, does a cool like ramp through a sign, grabs her at the altar and takes her away.
Yeah.
And what happens next is that basically the younger Bachchan, the old Bachchan goes away for a long time. Mm-hmm. The younger Bachchan, they have no money, but they start at the bottom and they have a good work ethic. And he starts a company of buses. We'll get to the buses in a minute. And she takes she studies a lot to take a test to become the tax collector for the region, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like very wealthy after that. And they become a very successful unit, the two of them, and they have to team up to stop the villain that she was supposed to marry. She was supposed to marry the villain's son. He's talking shit about their family. Yeah, it's a little bit complicated.
And they eventually
it's hard because you have to refer to both Bachchans.
Yeah, and then they eventually like have to like protect and save Bachchan Sr. and yeah.
So It's at once like a family drama where one man plays both of the two poles that are fighting against each other. And also, his story is just so interesting that this girl who's just showed up and treated him like a servant is just like, wow, what a great guy he is. Mm-hmm. I'll marry him. And to be fair, like, he is a very good husband.
Yeah.
He, in a movie for this, even for this time, is a little regressive. But in general, in a Hindi movie prior to the 2000s, if you let your wife go to school and study and stuff, like, that's huge. Good job. Way to go.
Yeah.
He allows her to do school.
Yeah.
And he does, he basically does odd jobs and really menial tasks in order to allow her to have the time to go to school. But he starts a bus company, and this is where we met the character
Charisma.
So they, Anupam Kher and some other cronies kind of hire this hot girl to be the conductor on the bus.
Charisma. Yeah.
Charisma.
She's also like, she's like really built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not a stereotypical sort of hot girl. Like, she's an interesting sort of character.
You feel like she could boss you around.
Yeah. And that's what she does on the bus is basically boss around old guys who just go on the bus to hang out with her. Which, yes. Is this creepy? Yes. But she also got fired from her job for no reason.
Yeah, like, just she wasn't doing
anything weird.
Yeah.
It's just, it's discrimination against hot people, essentially.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Young Bachchan is just like, no, we're not going to have a sleazy bus service that has hot women on it. We're not doing it that way. And we don't actually know what the conductor looks like on his bus later. But, like, it was just a funny little scene of just him being super moral, right?
Well, and also, like, she loses her job. It's really kind of just, I think what you said was justice for Charisma. Like,
yeah,
you know, she had a job.
She's not wearing a revealing outfit either. She's just hot. And if a bunch of old guys want to ride the bus to nowhere because there's a hot woman on board, they're going to do that anyway. If they're just creeps, they're just going to be creeps regardless.
Yeah. She also wasn't like, yeah, like using her feminine wiles on these guys or anything. Like, she's just doing her job. Yeah. I also really
You could blame Anupam Kher in this situation for discriminating against not hot people when hiring bus conductors.
Well, it just, I feel like she was capable of the job. She was doing a good job.
She was bringing in lots of money.
She should not have been fired just because she was hot.
I think Charisma should be able to drive the bus.
Yes.
I don't know if she has the bus driver's license, but that's what should have happened. They should have given her her own bus. Or maybe she goes on and starts her own bus company that is purely hot people.
I really like that in this three-hour movie,
that's the thing that stuck out for us.
We're devoting this much time to Charisma.
I mean, this is one where it does feel regressive for his career that we've established with Kudagawa especially. Like, you know, you're getting up there in age, and you should probably have a more age-appropriate partner. Granted, Sridevi herself is not that age difference, but Benazir and Bajshah, they're like supposed to be like roughly equivalent age. And by the time that he gets out of jail, him and Sridevi are presumably around the same age still. So it kind of feels like a backwards to go back and say, like, okay, in this one, I'm going to play my own son.
And then I'm going to romance this girl that I could be her father.
Very much so.
Yeah, I think she's dubbed by Rekka.
Which adds another interesting wrinkle to this, does it not?
Yes. So I don't think we can, like, fully... I think despite that, Sundaria's giving a good performance. I think mostly just... She really pops in the musical scenes. She really pops in the dancing.
She's a good dancer.
There's one especially that I watched over again that I just think there's so much heat to it.
It's also sort of, I don't know if you would call it sexistly directed, but it's certainly pointed that she's outside, they're at a temple basically, and her and her dancers are out in the rain getting rained on, and Amitabh is hitting a drum and he's under a roof.
Yeah.
Which...
It's a good song though.
But compared to like Namak Halal, where they're both splashing around in the water, like
wow,
it does feel a little odd that the hot young girl is getting rained on and like having a see-through sari, etc. And meanwhile, Amitabh's just over here banging a drum, completely dry.
Fair, but it's good.
Yeah, I still like it. I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah,
it's just
they
know what they're trying to sell here.
Yeah, this film it got good reviews. But it failed at the box office. It's gone on to be a cult hit, though, as it has been screened a lot on TV.
Yeah.
And I can totally see how you would just kind of...
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, come across this on a Sunday afternoon and just kind of get kind of absorbed in it. But I don't think ultimately that it's the most, like, compelling story, even though, yeah, there's, like, big kind of similarities between this and Animal, just with regards to kind of the relationship between... The father and son, and how.
But they should be both played by Ranbir Kapoor? No, they should both be played by Anil Kapoor.
Yeah.
if this was the remake, that's how it would work.
And how the father doesn't accept.
And that would make it better. That would make Animal better for sure.
How the father doesn't accept the relationship of his son.
That would actually eliminate 90% of my problems with Animal, is if Anil Kapoor was playing both characters.
I don't know if that would eliminate 90% of the problems. I think there's still some, like. The way that the Muslim characters are presented in that film, I have some issues with.
But Anil Kapoor smooths a lot of things over.
Well, I mean, I do love him. We are cosmically linked.
Yeah.
We share a birthday, and I think that counts for a lot. But, yeah, it is interesting the way in which, like, there are kind of, some very clear plot similarities. And this itself isn't even original.
Even though Animal didn't even start his own company or anything. Like, he just basically starts... Essentially a mercenary company of a bunch of Sikh guys that he goes to the village. Like, at least Hira goes and starts a bus company to impress his dad.
Well, and I would also say that, like, one of the big differences between this and Animal is that this film is not sexist. Like, I do think it's a problem that Charisma gets fired, but she still gets a job.
She did get a job.
And there's Radha...
There's no plane, so that's something.
And Radha also, like, gets to go to school and become the breadwinner and everything.
Yeah,
so, like,
he's totally fine with his wife being more educated with him, for sure. Even though he also learns to read over the course of this, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's not dumb. It's just that he made a very dumb decision when he was 7 and then never really got a chance to walk it back.
What do you think of Gori's attempted suicide because she doesn't want to marry a man who's illiterate?
I mean...
I think that's a little unfair.
Again, once you realize the backstory of why he's illiterate, and also, you can teach someone how to read.
Exactly!
Like,
exactly!
There'll be time. And in this case, like, it also...
I think that is really discriminatory to people all over the world who, you know, haven't had the opportunity to learn how to read. I think they... You know, are probably still very intelligent people and deserve love.
And also, older Amitabh in this scenario would
where
not have
this episode going?
Would not have kicked his son out of the house. So they would have had like money and privilege and like tutors, right? But it also begs the question, like, why didn't they just let him get a tutor anyway?
I think it's a very strong reaction to, I also, you know, you can read, Matt, so I do appreciate that about you. But I'm like, it's a very strong reaction to, like,
yeah,
you know, try and commit suicide just because, you know.
Well, it's also just his status.
Well, it's also the melodrama of it all. But yeah, like, I wanted more melodrama from this. Like, I don't know. This did not work for me.
I thought it was fine. I don't know. It's kind of campy.
Yeah.
Having Rekka do all the voices is just sort of interesting as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nothing we haven't seen before.
No.
Or would see better later. I do think it's better than Animal, but I just thought Animal was pure dog shit. So like, wow, congrats on being better than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's more of a curiosity, I think, that, and it didn't do that well at the box office, I guess, but, like, he thought he could still be the young guy in addition to the old guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're also ascribing a bit of agency to Bachchan that I don't know if he necessarily has. Like, is he at this point picking whatever scripts he wants, or is he kind of just needing to take whatever jobs come his way? We don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, there is some crafting of your career as an actor by what you choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you also just need to work.
Yeah.
And if this was the only movie he could get, or one of the only projects that interested him, you know, there's only so much we can ascribe to his own trying to make his image up and, in our mind, backsliding.
Yeah, and this is it's a financial low point for him, so.
Yeah.
But he sure turns things around the next year. So Mohabbatein is the only film that Bachchan released in 2000. We've already discussed it.
So go listen to that episode.
Quite an iconic picture that I think, you know, really establishes him in kind of his new position in Bollywood and the position that he was in Bollywood when we kind of came to Bollywood. So yeah. I'm excited.
One of a great many movies about why it's fun to do homework.
I am excited for this series to continue, and I'm excited that we're out of the 90s. I'm done.
Do you want a taste of what films there are to come?
Yes.
So,
or I guess also, listeners, tell us
your favorite 2000s ones. They're going to be easier to get.
Yeah, your favorite 2000s ones. Again, we are still trying to do year by year.
Yeah.
With our Anil Kapoor series, we broke things up by decades, but we are still trying to do year by year. But we always love suggestions. Should we watch Pa when we get there?
So that's 2009.
Yeah.
So for 2001, that was also K3G.
Mm.
So another patriarch, Stern Bachchan. But there's a movie called Ek Rishta, which I believe he's a cop shooting people. So that's kind of the one I want to watch. I don't want to watch K3G again.
Was in 2001 also Axe?
Axe is there too. Couldn't
really
find it.
Really want to see
Axe. That's cool.
Yeah.
2002 is a film called Hum Kise Kim Nahin.
Yeah.
2003 is one that's been on our radar for many years, Bagban.
Yeah, which is like a remake of Tokyo Story.
Yeah, so that seems like more of a dramatic flex.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's quite a few sort of... We're getting into the point where we've actually seen a lot of movies of his, so I'm kind of just trying to find stuff that we haven't seen and is also available.
And is discussable.
Yeah.
Surya Bachchan was not discussable.
Yeah. By the time we get to 2016, we've seen everything.
Okay.
So the series may end there. But, yeah, and in the mid-2010s, you've seen some of them and I haven't.
Yeah.
Like Shamitab.
Yeah.
And Bhootnath Returns.
We should definitely do Shamitab and Bhootnath Returns. Yeah. And Bhootnath. I haven't seen Bhootnath.
Yeah, so there's a few. Yeah, Bhootnath is 2008.
Yeah.
So there's a few that you have more familiarity with than me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of these, it seems like, you know, he's moving into more of a stately old man type roles. But I'm sure he's got a few surprises here.
Hey, he climbs a mountain. And Unchai.
He almost climbed a mountain. Spoiler alert for Unchai, but
he gets to base camp.
He got to the base camp and then almost died.
All right, we're going to leave it here. So this series will probably pick up in the new year.
Do you still like doing it? These are fun, right?
Yes.
The movies are very long.
Yeah.
But it's just been kind of fascinating to watch the career of what I think is like the best actor ever. Like, he is a whole industry. Mm-hmm. And you could chart the industry through him.
Yeah. And it will, exactly. This has been a way for us to, yeah, to kind of not just follow his career, but also the evolution of Bollywood, right?
Co-stars.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Prawn. I haven't seen Prawn for a while, but I think those days are behind us now.
Yeah. Well, we have to get to Prawncast soon.
Yeah, but the Prawncast will happen.
What are we doing next time, Matt?
I don't know.
It'll be October when our next episode is released, so we will be moving into Hindi Horror Halloween.
And we have a special event, too.
Yes, we are also going to be on... I've already been on an episode, but Matt hasn't, but we are going to both be on an episode of Bollywood Drafts talking about horror films.
With Manish Mathur, the Prince of Hearts.
Yes. So we're really looking forward to that. I don't think we've entirely selected what films we're going to be talking about for Hindi Horror Halloween this year, because we're actually watching a lot of Indian horror movies, or a lot of Bollywood horror movies.
Yeah.
They're all in Hindi. For that episode,
we're filling in sort of our back catalog,
yeah,
which will let us do some episodes of our show too, which is nice.
Yeah, so it is nice. So I think we have some interesting films that we've watched recently to discuss. Yeah. But I think
homeownership, we could do one about that, because
the horrors of homeownership.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's definitely a topic we could do.
Yeah, we're also going to be taking a bit of a break, sometime kind of mid to late October and for most of November.
Yeah.
We acknowledge that our release schedule is not as consistent as maybe we would like, and certainly.
But we have a really good reason.
But yes, we will. We're going to be taking a vacation, so we won't be able to be recording. But these episodes will continue to come out when they come out.
And if you're like our new reviewer, why not dip into the back catalog?
Yeah, and also highly recommend, checking out Bollywood Drafts, checking out Khandan.
Yeah.
There's stuff to listen to, not just us. Okay.
we would never assume that we're your only Hindi film podcast.
In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep with the show?
Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr. Just look up Bollywood is for Lovers, you'll find it.
Yeah, we're at Bollywood Pod on Twitter. Our email is bodiesforlovers@gmail.com.
That's the best way to get us now.
Yes, please collect your Biffle points if you need to collect any Biffle points. You can also listen to my other show that I do with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Art in the Movies. We're doing an episode on, I'm really excited about this, on Private Parts and The People versus Larry Flint.
Hmm.
So kind of like...
I hate both those movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Milos Forman, though.
I think that both Larry Flint... and especially Roger Stern, are the most insufferable men who've ever lived.
Howard Stern.
Roger Stern is the Trump ally.
Well, he could also be insufferable then.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember seeing both of those and I was like, do these men actually need to have movies about them? They're insufferable.
Okay. I love Milos Forman, so I'm looking forward to that episode. While you're checking out that show, you can also leave us a review and a star rating. Then you get to collect your Biffle points. We want to thank Becca Dahlke for our artwork. Do you think Tuffy could play...
Young Tuffy?
Young Tuffy and old Tuffy.
It would be very cute to see Tuffy with like a beard. He's like, rough, rough,
what
rough.
Kind of dye job would you do on Tuffy? He's already white.
I don't know. How could you tell that dogs get older?
Well, like dogs do. Their fur does gray. But if you're already white,
yeah,
you're already like
maybe he could have like old man glasses on. And he couldn't really see that well. That'd be cute, right? Aww. Yeah, he's got an ear horn.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Because I mean, we know he wears headphones, so like he's probably damaged his hearing. He probably needs some hearing aids.
Yeah, there we go. That's what would happen. And then his son would be a puppy who would marry some other dog.
I think that would be a really impressive feat of animal acting, canine acting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd watch that.
Turn it off.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.